What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
You are listening to Sunshine's Table Talk with me, Leah. How are we going today? I am joined on the phone by Simon Creek from HH Legal Group. Hello, Simon. How are you going?
I'm going really well. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks, Simon. And we're going to be talking about the Voice to Parliament today, and I suppose a sort of legal look on all of the implications. Oh dear. I don't know what's happening. But anyway, that's what we're doing.
We all have those mornings. Don't worry, Leah. We all have those mornings.
I appreciate that, Simon. I appreciate it. So I guess, first of all, we've seen a lot of things in the news. There's just like, yeah, so many articles every other day that's talking about this. The PM Albanese is obviously really pushing for the Voice to Parliament. But I guess there's so many things that we don't know about it. Do you have sort of a summarising terms that you can explain to people what the Voice is and I guess what the PM is wanting to achieve?
I do indeed, and very happy to do that. Then after that, dig into the fors and against, the pros and the cons.
Yeah, great.
But in short, you know, even on my own basic research, just asking different people from different groups, different ages, yeah, there's a lot of confusion out there, and a lot of people have no idea what it meant. In fact, a bunch of uni students last night that I was talking to thought The Voice was literally the TV show, all about singing, etc. So what we've got here is a bit of a ramification of trying to rush this, I think.
Yeah, sure.
And that's been one of the major criticisms of the PM here. But that said, in effect, as short form as I can make it,
yeah,
The Voice is a body that will mandate that Parliament, government, seek advice from the body that will be made up of First Nations people on any changes affecting Indigenous people.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And so on the face of it, it seems quite simple, it seems quite innocent, and it seems like a fantastic concept in theory.
Yeah.
There is so much more to it, though.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I suppose one of the questions I'll just throw out there right now for people to start pondering is, that wording, to seek advice on any changes affecting Indigenous people, if we think about it for a moment, it's arguable even now that that's not just those issues that are specifically Indigenous.
No.
That could well include any issue that affects any Indigenous person to the same extent that they do everybody else.
Yeah, right.
So I think the wording in of itself straight away has some issues, some potholes, some traps, because let's face it, Indigenous Australians, like everybody else, also face policies concerning welfare, taxation, climate change, the environment, etc.
Yeah.
So is it going to be limited to strictly Indigenous issues, or will it give Indigenous people a voice that other Australians don't have necessarily, a special voice on all policy decisions?
Yeah.
So that's the best summary I can give you for now. But the PM's motivation, his intention, I don't doubt is a good thing.
Yeah,
I don't doubt that there is a whole pile of goodwill on the side of the government, and indeed, I think, on the side of most parties debating here.
Yeah, definitely.
But more information is probably needed.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there is so many people that are either pro or against, and just depending on background, and yeah, if you are a First Nations person as well, there's so many, you know, layers to this. But if we just focus in on sort of the legal side of things, what are the legal issues that may be involved, and what would need to happen legally for the PM in order for him to succeed in what he's trying to do?
Sure. So I guess, first of all, we can't answer that completely yet because we're waiting for the final form and the final function.
Sure.
If it becomes really clear, if it's made clearer, let me put it that way,
yeah,
that this is all about a very symbolic victory for Indigenous Australians and that its aim is to literally give them a voice,
yeah,
that's one thing.
Sure.
If it turns out that there is more of a goal here, that it is in fact meant to give influence over policy decisions, then legally the ramifications could be, you know, wide and long. They could be multiple. And we just don't know yet. What we do know is that High Court Justice Callanan wrote an article in The Australian recently saying that the voice would lead to, and I'll use his words, a decade or more of constitutional and administrative law litigation.
Right.
She believes that the body will give rise to legal obligations in legislating, despite what the PM is promising at this point.
Right, okay.
We put that aside, though, because I know there's more questions than answers there.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's just quickly explain what has to happen in order for a constitutional change to be made through a successful referendum.
Sure. I have to go to a quick break, but we might get you to expand on that point after this song, and we'll be back with Simon Creek, and make sure you text in your thoughts on The Voice as well, and you can win a family pass to the movies, and we'll be right back with Simon after this. You are listening to Sunshine's Table Talk with me, Leah, and I am joined by Simon from HHG Legal Group. And we're also giving a family pass away to the movies this hour. So if you do want to win, all you have to do is text me, 0429985985. Let me know your name and what it is that I'm just talking about with Simon, and you will have a chance to win that family pass. But Simon, to follow on our conversation, can we talk about what is needed in order for the voice to parliament to sort of be granted and move through?
Absolutely. And I'm going to make this hopefully as clear cut as I can.
Yeah.
In essence, any referendum for a constitutional change has to have a majority of voters in a majority of states, but with a national majority of voters overall.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, let's just assume that if the national vote is 55% yes,
yeah,
and there's more than 50% yes votes in four states, the referendum will win.
Right.
But if the national vote stayed at 55% but only had a majority in three states, the referendum fails.
Oh.
So there's a pretty strong, good protective measure there for any changes to the Constitution.
Yeah, okay. And can I ask, just this may be my ignorance, but what's the benefit of going to a referendum rather than, you know, the government just deciding things for itself? Is it just to make sure it is to the Constitution, they need to do it, get the opinion of the people rather than just making rules that they think we might like?
That's partly it, but the bigger aim, the specific reason as to why the PM has chosen a referendum and a change to the Constitution is that the Constitution is so hard to change now,
yeah,
it will be very hard to change back by any governments in future.
Right, okay.
So his aim here is to enshrine it in rock forever.
Yeah, sure. So that way, if you get the opinion and you've got the whole sort of country, well, we all decided together, then it's not likely it's going to come up as something that could be backflipped later.
It would be. It's not like changing typical legislation.
Yeah, okay.
It'd be a whole new referendum, and we would literally have to be, as an entire country, as a majority vote, we would have to be saying that was a dud, that was a massive failure, and it's so important we change it that we have to go back to a referendum.
Yeah, right, I see, okay. And we were talking as well about the pros and cons of the referendum and the voice. Why is there such just strong disagreement, and can you briefly touch on the major concerns for and against? Anything else that you can see?
Sure. There's three questions there. You know, why is there such strong disagreement already?
Yeah.
What are the concerns for? And then thirdly, what are the arguments against? But there's so much disagreement at the moment. Literally, there are camps everywhere, none of whom seem to agree with each other because, and you touched on it in your last question, it is a change to our constitution. It's
yeah.
a big, big deal, a very, very important thing. And there is concern that if it's done badly, it ends up in the Constitution, then we're stuck with a massive burden forever.
Yeah, right.
There's a lot of uncertainty right now as to its final form. I mean, we're up to Voice to Parliament 8.0.
Right.
It's, you know, there's a real issue there. There's the big deal as to the fact that this deals with race.
Yeah.
And let's face it, there's probably no more divisive issue in any country than race. So lots of reasons for the concern.
Mm.
The big arguments for, though, are, and this is pretty much what the PM's saying as a whole, this is only intended to have a symbolic effect and a procedural advisory effect. So in other words, where's the harm in giving Indigenous Australians more voice, more of a voice, greater recognition in terms of input onto issues that they feel they are specifically and perhaps uniquely able to comment on? And I buy that. I accept that. And if that is, in fact, what we were to end up with, and for those reasons, at that point, I'm all for it, to be frank, okay. Because what we've been doing hasn't worked so far.
Yes.
And we do need to do something else. But there are all of these other concerns against. And these come from, in the main, Indigenous groups themselves, people like Senator Price. Mm. She has called the voice racially divisive.
Yeah, of course.
That it singles Indigenous people out from all other Australians. And just quickly closing on that particular issue, this is a critique with a long pedigree, because similar ideas have been put to the people going back decades.
Yeah,
in 73, the proposed National Aboriginal Conference, which had similar goals to the PM today, was actually, and very provocatively, compared to South Africa's apartheid policy.
Oh, wow, okay.
Now, that's just a jump too far.
Sure, sure.
But the point there, if you take away the sensationalism, is that if this did end up being a third chamber of parliament, which the PM vehemently denies it ever will be, if it did, then it would confirm in the minds of probably all of us that true representation of Aboriginal people can only come through their own body and not through our government.
Yeah.
And I think there's some reason for concern there.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to continue the conversation with Simon, so don't go anywhere if you are listening. We are talking all about the voice to Parliament. And make sure you text in, because we are going to be joining... drawing the winners of our family pass to the cinema as well. This hour, all you have to do is text me 0429 985 985. Let me know what it is I'm talking about with Simon, and your name, and you'll go in the chance to draw, and we'll be back after this song. Talking about the voice to Parliament with Simon Creek from HHG Legal Group, and you're on Sunshine's Table Talk with me, Leah. Simon, we've been talking about pros and cons, what it all means, but can you, taking all of those things into account, what's sort of the worst possible outcome that could come from the voice?
I'm going to step well and truly outside of the legal issues. Part of my answer is to do with the law, but the other isn't. And I think that's actually more important. But let me put it this way. If the PM is wrong, or a future government end up interpreting this new chapter, it's not just a new amendment, by the way, it's a whole new chapter of the Constitution. It's the first time that would ever have been done.
Okay.
If it's not simply symbolic and advisory, and it ends up having an impact on all laws affecting all Australians, I think that's a big concern. The other concern is raised by people like Senator Lydia Thorpe, an Indigenous politician who is vehemently opposed to the voice, because she sees it as a waste of money, pure tokenism, and it's just not going to achieve anything. So they're the big issues in terms of finalising that arguments against. But all up, what would the worst outcome be? It would be if this ended up achieving something that nobody intended it to. That's number one. But my biggest takeaway here in terms of the worst outcome, and after having given this a lot of personal thought as well, I honestly think that if the yes vote gets up, I reckon there'll be a honeymoon period. Indigenous Australians, and perhaps all Australians, will be for a short period quite delighted, very happy that we have done more for Indigenous Australians. And I think Indigenous Australians will get their hopes up that there are going to be substantive changes from this to them as a people. And let's face it, I think we all agree big changes are needed.
Absolutely.
What's happening at the moment isn't working.
Yeah.
But what if we get 10 years down the track and we look back as a country and nothing's changed? No changes in welfare, in education, in Indigenous criminal records, you name it. my biggest worry is just how discouraging that would be for all Australians, particularly Indigenous Australians. And I suppose if I were going to vote against this, and I haven't decided how to vote yet, it would be on that basis, in what's the point of something simply symbolic if it's not actually going to make a difference?
Yeah, absolutely.
And if it does make a difference, but with the provided wording and that difference is not what was intended, what other problems are we going to have?
Yeah.
But above all else, I just don't want to see Indigenous Australians set back further by this.
No, absolutely.
There have been many attempts, many, many attempts, we all know it, to improve their lot in life. They've all failed.
Yeah.
We are failing miserably as a country in this space.
Yeah.
And I can't see the point of getting people's hopes up only to have them dashed through the passage of time.
Yeah, absolutely. So make sure we're doing it right.
Exactly. That'll be the worst outcome for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So then can we leave the people and, you know, people listening and thinking about this conversation and how to vote and everything that it entails with anything, you know, any encouragement maybe that even that you've been able to draw from both sides of the argument as you've been, you know, reading and researching and your knowledge of the legal sides as well?
I think the encouragement is that we are, as a country, yet again pushed to have this discussion.
Yeah, sure.
The debate in of itself is highlighting the plight of Indigenous Australians, and we all need to have big hearts. It's so tempting to be cynical because so much money, so much time has been spent over so many decades trying different things to help our Indigenous people get into a better space in life.
Absolutely.
But that conversation, the fact that it's top of mind now is going to become increasingly so, can only help us all reflect on what we as individuals can do to improve perhaps our own attitudes towards our Indigenous Australians and have a big think about what we can do individually to look after them better.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's always a good place to start and make sure that conversation keeps going and that we're checking in with our own biases and the way we view different people that might be different to us or have different experiences to us, because we're all in this together. Not something we need to consider. So I appreciate that, Simon. We always love having you on to chat about everything that's happening in our country and things that are important to us. So thank you for joining me on Table Talk again. I appreciate it.
It's always a pleasure.
Thanks, Simon. And if you want to win that movie pass the family pass to the movies, make sure you've got one last chance. You've got a little ad break to text me on 0429 985 985. We're drawing the winners right after this.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98five.com.